All right, I want you to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah 1, 5. So tonight what I wanted to teach is that we are a part of the divine design. All right, Jeremiah 1 and 5. When you have it, please say, I have it. And I just want to talk with you all tonight just a little bit about your importance to the kingdom of God. Your importance to the kingdom of God. And so we read this the other day. And the prophet Jeremiah says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's the scripture. That is it right there. All right. So before I formed thee in the womb, in the belly, what he's saying is before the lightning bolt struck, you know, they talk about conception, how there's this little flash like lightning that happens and life begins in those cells. He said, before I formed you, before that began, I knew you. Before that took place, I knew you. All right. There's an assignment. I need you to get this. There is an assignment to each of us. There is a purpose to each of us, a thing that all of us do. All right. Then it goes on and he says, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. To sanctify something is to set it apart for some purpose. Got it? For some purpose. Now, today, as I was teaching at lunchtime, I was sharing with the people in Macon about their giftings. Let's say I had five people and they all had different things that I know they do. One person's gift is singing. The other person's gift is giving. The other person's gift is loving people. The other person's gift is taking care of things. And so all of them had their own gifts, all right? God knew the importance of each of those people when he designed them. The problem and the, write this down if you know how or you know how to spell it, frustration. The frustration comes when we try to be somebody else. My goal is to be the best William that I can be. I will be the best at being me, better than anybody else can be. If I spend my life trying to be somebody else, I have said without saying it that God didn't know what he was doing when he made me. I want to be like so-and-so. No, he wants you to be you. There is something unique about you that is important to the kingdom of God. It is the thing that you do that sets you apart from everybody else. It is your place in the kingdom. Not everybody is the preacher. And so what I did is I said to the one that sings, I said, so you decide I want to be the one that just loves on people. So you stop singing, you stop practicing, and you start wanting to go and do these other things while the one who loves on people says, I want to be the one that gives. And so they're trying to do something that they can do, but they don't have the ease in doing it as the person whose gift it is to do that. I said, my gift, this being able to get up and talk, that's just when he says, don't worry about what to say. You get up and I'll fill your mouth. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter the number of people. Ron has been with me to men's retreats. I have preached at different churches. I've been at different places. And whatever he says, I open my mouth and I am comfortable doing what I do. Where other people will be like, I don't know what to say next. I don't know. And I'll just put the word in and he gives me what to say in that season at that hour to open my mouth and say what he needs me to say. And I am comfortable doing it because that is what I do. Right now, I always make these jokes and stuff about people who tune. Well, I could practice it, right? And I could be let's find a scripture. I could go before I knew thee in your mother's womb, I formed you. I could have done this, you know. I could do that, but that is not what I do. that is not the form or formula for my success, okay? And so I don't try to preach like anybody else. I don't try to teach like anybody else, but I am impressed by others, but I try to make sure that I'm just making me a better me. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? A lot of times people, I have a couple of people that I talk to from time to time, and they'll go, Pastor Rand. And I go, what's going on? I'm just wondering if I'm doing everything God wants me to do. And I said, well, just do what you do. They're like, well, I just want to make sure I'm in the right place with God. I'm like, well, what else can you do? And one in particular does things that she is on a intercessory prayer team. She's praying for their church and for the city. I mean, you know, and so that's big, right? But then also, this same young lady, she teaches in a school, you know, the schools that still let Christian teachings in. At the end of the day, she gets a group of kids together and she teaches them about Jesus Christ and all that in an environment where they would not be going to church, but they're getting the word, right? And then there's something else. And I'm thinking to myself, what more? And then because of a basic skill she has, she's an office manager. She helps the church that she's at by doing their accounting and stuff like that, right? And so it's like, what else are you looking for? You know, are you trying to shine? And I'm not putting her down. I'm just saying sometimes you have to realize who you are and do what you do. Because if you keep chasing after what makes somebody else successful, it does not necessarily mean that you are successful. If God's goal for Ron, let's just use Ron. If God's goal for Ron is to help the kingdom of God flourish automotively, let's just say that's the goal, to keep the church functioning, right? But he don't want to do that. He wants to build buildings. But he don't get the opportunity to build buildings very much, right? But he builds two or three, and he's like, whoo, I built three buildings. I'm better than so-and-so, and I'm better than so-and-so. I built three buildings. But there were 2,500, 25,000 people he could have helped by putting tips or something online. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so he may say, I am successful because I got these three done. But are you successful if it's not what you do? If you're trying to do something other than what God has really called you to do. And so the only thing that you are seeking God about, your father about, is, Daddy, what do you want me to do? All right? Because David and Daniel yesterday, I'll use this as an example. I came in, I had been in Macon, and I was working on some stuff. And when I came in, I didn't feel like fixing the stuff that I saw that needed fixing. So I went in, I told Ari, I said, go get your Uncle Dave, go get Uncle Dan. I said, David, I need you to go outside. I need you to get my ramps, put them on the back porch. I need you to go out, put the cap back on the water faucet. I said, let me get your brother. I need y'all to put the fence back in so that all this is done. So I'm telling them things that I want done. So what they didn't know is where our bedroom is, that brick wall is right by the driveway. And so I hear Daniel talking about, I don't need your help. I can do this by myself. You can't hang it. I can hang it up there. I can do this. And I was laughing, you know, at them. I was like, boy, he just want to be the big boy. Look at it. He was just talking about what he wanted to do. And I could do this. And David was probably telling him, I can't remember, you know, I'll grab one side, you grab one side. We just put it in. But if they had done something else and then came inside and they'd be like, hey, Dad. And I say, what? I rolled the windows up on your truck and I did this, 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 and I did that. But they left the stuff undone that I needed them to do. Then there would not be pleasure, but displeasure. I mean, it's like, that's good, but that's not what I, it's good that you did it, but I need you to do the stuff I asked you to do. Does that make sense to everybody? And so when God is touching your heart, Sheila, to say, hey, have you eaten? All right, nothing else you do matters at that moment. Are you going to do what he asked you, what he touched your heart to do at that moment? Because that's what the Father is asking of you. When he says to Jeremiah, before I even formed you, I knew you. All right? He knows our makeup. He knows our personalities. He knows everything about us. And so he allows our design. He designs us and allows our design to work for the benefit of the kingdom of God. All right. And so allow him to then use you the way that you are designed. And so today, Richard said to me, Sunday, Pastor, he was like, I heard you say, turn to this scripture. He said, and after that, you was off to the races. He said, I ain't hear nothing else you said. And I said, well, Richard, he's got a hearing issue. And so I said, Richard, I said, well, we're going to have to find something that helps you hear. I said, but until then, I'm going to slow down. And he says, well, but if you slow down, you're going to bore the other people. I said, but the scripture says, talking about tongues, it would be better that I speak 7 words in English than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, because it doesn't benefit anybody. I said, so if you're sitting in the congregation and I am teaching, but I'm teaching too fast for you to hear, and you sit there 40 minutes and don't get the point, you just wasted 40 minutes of your life. I said, and so if this is my gifting, I have to learn, get this, how to make my gifting affect my audience different. Y'all get it? So I'm improving on what I do. Does that make sense to everybody? Improving on what I do, which makes me more effective in what I do. And so then I enhance the kingdom with my improved skills, my improved abilities. I glorify God because my skill set gets better. I'm doing what I do better. And I was sharing with one of the brothers in Macon. He was teaching one day, and I said, what I need you to understand is you've got to know scripture well enough that not just can you teach it to the adults. I said, there are times when I don't have a teacher, and I just say, let the kids stay here, because I know that I know the scripture well enough to take it from the teaching I was going to give a 60-year-old and break it down to a 3 or 4-year-old, because I understand what I am teaching. And so if you're going to be a teacher, you need to know the material. You can't teach what you don't know. And so you got to spend time in the word. And so before you say, I want to be a preacher or whatever, no, understand, you got to spend some time in the word. Not only do you need to know what the word says, you need to know what it means. You got to know what it means. Likewise, singing, right? I was talking to Miss Brenda today. I said, so God gives you a gift to sing, and people like your singing. I said, some people want to sing, but the Bible says make a joyful noise skillfully. It's not just a joyful noise. One scripture says make a joyful noise, but then the other says skillfully. Why? Because you are glorifying God with your song. And so what then do? You sing, you practice, you learn, you... How do I breathe better? How do I hit that note? You know, some notes you can't hit on half a lung of air. Some notes you got to go get you some right before you go there, because that's how you make the horn squeak. You need some air behind it to get it out there. And so if you don't learn the techniques and all of that, then your gift does not get any better. All right. And yes, God can use you, but the more refined you become, the more he can use you, the different places he can use you. I remember one time I was preaching at a church over in Eastman. I believe it was Eastman. And I walked in there, man, and I had a good word from the Lord. Benny, I had a word from the Lord. Boy, that thing was heavy in my belly. I was like, this is going to be good. I walked in, and their musicians started playing. And it was like that little Duracell Pinch, you know, them battery operated monkeys and all that. It was like, pa-ching, 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 pa-ching. I mean, for real, it was not in key. It was not in tune. I have never had a headache before I start preaching. And that day, I was just ready to get done. So the lack of skill, yes, I know you want to train musicians, but in certain environments, that's not the environment. It's better to sing 2 songs to a track or sing some a cappella than to turn them loose and everybody's going, what in God's name is that? Got it? And so in whatever we do it to our best ability. There are times you want to do something else. Well, praise God, develop yourself, but realize if I'm going to do it for God, I need to do it well. Amen? Okay. So he knows Jeremiah. He has sanctified him for a specific job to be a prophet to the nations. That's his job. Got it? And so it didn't make sense for Jeremiah to do anything else, to be talking about, I'm going to go and run with the bulls. I'm going to do this, that. No, his job is to be a prophet to the nations. And when God speaks, he's supposed to open his mouth and not be afraid of the people that are around him. Does that make sense to everybody? Any questions so far? Okay. All right. So I want you to understand, if God did that for Jeremiah, Sheila, he has done it for us. There is nobody in the kingdom who he has not, who he does not know and has not designated to be important. I repeat this after me. I am part of the divine design. All right. Divine just means God, the things that are of God. I am a part of the divine design. All right. Whatever God's plan was, get this. Whatever God's plan was, I'm a part of it. All right. So you say, I don't belong. I don't fit in. The devil is a liar. You wouldn't have been born if he didn't have a plan for you. Okay. He has a plan for you. All right. So down here, I said, I have a place in the kingdom. I'm important to the kingdom. So I want you to say this with me. Repeat after me. I have a place in the kingdom. My place in the kingdom is important. Amen. You need to know that. All right. Well, I'm not the preacher. Well, look, the preacher don't look good if certain other things don't take place. So do what you do. All right. It would be difficult for us to have a good church service if Sheila wasn't good at what she does. All right. Because when we come in the house of God, it is clean. It smells nice. All of that. How many of y'all know y'all get distracted by dirty? You'd be paying attention to things, watching things. Yeah. So cleanliness in the house of God is a big thing. Y'all get it? So what you do is important. Make sure you know what you do is important. Important. Got it? It is important. All right. So let's go now to Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. When you have Romans 12, we're going to go to verses 3 through 8. The actual verses was like 4 and 5, but I just wanted to read all of it. Romans 12, 3 through 8. When you have it, please say, I have it. I got a phone call today. It was disturbing. It was the person with one of the people with the gift of giving, right? And so he's got somebody working for him, and he said to me, hey, what's the percentage to pay people for overtime? And I said, huh? And down in my heart, I was like, man, you paying them a grip right now. You don't have to pay them anymore. But because of the gift of giving that's in him, he knew that if I work them over, I need to, based on these things, I need to give them more. He said, so I need to know the percentage. I don't know the percentage. So I looked it up for him. I called him with it. And he says, I don't quite understand. And I said, well, that's time and a half. He says, so what's the multiplication? I said, take the number, times it by 1.5. And he said, oh, that's simple. I said, yeah. And so I thank God that I understand money. I'm able to help him. But his gift is just being simple and doing what he does. Just to give, to do it. Y'all get it? All right. So we're at Romans 12. All right, Romans 12. Three through eight. For I say, through the grace given unto me, through the grace given unto me, I'm able to do this because this is how God has given it to me. Okay. To everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Got it? All right. I'm talking to you from the place that God allows me to talk to you from. Got it? He's saying, I'm talking to you because there's a measure of grace on my life that allows me to say to you what I am saying to you. And then he goes to say, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. To think soberly. He's not saying not to think highly of yourself, but he said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Know what you do. do what you do well. Y'all get that? And then understand you may be good at what you do, but there may be somebody who does what you do on a whole different level. Y'all got it? On a whole different level. On a whole different level. I remember, boy, I was so happy because I was doing, you know, I had been on TV. I had been on the radio for a few years on the radio. I had a thing called Thought for the Day. Then I had a show, Thought of the Week. Then I was a part of this prayer line thing. And so I've been on the radio for a while. I used to be a DJ on WBML in Macon. And so I'm accustomed to being on the radio and doing Christian stuff. So I had done it for years. Then I found myself on TV and I had this show. This lady, Tammy, had a show and she called me to be one of her guests on her show. And so I would be on her show and all. And so I was like, man, I'm on TV and I'm all this. And then I was doing other things. And I remember sitting down with this dude and I was telling him the stuff I was doing. And he was just really quiet, right? And then I found out later, we were talking, and he was happy for me, but he was making movies. I didn't know whose company I was in. Got it? I wasn't bragging. I wasn't trying to show off. But I was just, man, and God is doing this. And he says, yeah. And then we were talking about something, and it made me go look up some stuff on him. And I went, man, this joker got movies out. And it was like, wow. And then it took me to a whole different place. It was like, okay, all right, really? All of us have our thing to do. I ain't trying to make no movies. I'm trying to make little segments. I have like little thoughts that would look good visually. If I could put it together visually, it would be good. But understand, I am just trying to do what I do. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. And so Sheila might be talking about, girl, I keep our church clean down there. We good to go and all that. And then you go to some of the churches that we've been going to, and they got big, you know, like Walmart buffers going down the hall and vacuums, and they got air systems and all. I mean, you know, okay. You know, because we're on a different level altogether. Y'all get it? And so is my job any less important than the other one? Uh-uh, because it's significant to where I am. Does that make sense? Okay. So don't think that your gift is not important. I keep trying to expose them. And it's weird because I've known that they can sing and Bria can sing and all that. And I've been wanting to expose them to some stuff. So I've been talking to different people I know because I need them to be with live music so that they can just let God have his way. Right. Because I need them to see what God can do, you know. And so when you're in my position, you try to push people toward the opportunities for their giftings to flourish. Y'all got it? And so what I'm challenging you to do is just to get to know yourself. Got it? Just get to know you, the stuff that you do. That's what helps your gift grow. And if your gift grows, guess what happens to the people around you? We all begin to grow because now all of a sudden we got this tight operation over here. And so it's like, wow, they look good right there. And then this person is like, I'm jealous. They don't try to do your thing, but they make their thing better. And all of a sudden, the level of everything begins to go up. And so if I came to church and I hadn't studied, there's been generations, decades of preachers who get up and they just beat the board and talk, and they use the same scripture over and over and over again, don't say nothing different. And yet, for me to be who I need to be, I have to spend time in the Word, all right? Because I'm supposed to be equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, taking you to a whole different place so that you can be better at what you do, so that you can affect the world with your gifting. Your gift helps. Amen? Okay? So now that was verse number 3, right? All right, verse 4 says, let me just finish 3 again. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So to do what you're going to do for God, guess what you need to have? Faith. And you got to have a certain amount of faith to do what you're going to do. Don't try to jump out there and do something you can't believe to come to pass. All right. That's the thing. Whatever that measure of faith is, whatever you can bring to pass that you know God will do through you. All right. So verse 4, let's step into it. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. Did anybody get it? We don't all do, look at your neighbor and say, we don't all do the same thing. All right? We don't all do the same thing. Amen. All right? So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So even though I do something different, my thing is to affect the whole. Say it again for me. Okay. My job is different, but we're accomplishing the same thing. All right? So the faucet turns the water on, but it's not the water. But it helps the water to do what it needs to do and gives the person control over the water. And so the faucet is as much a part of the car washing process as the water and the person doing it and the pipes and the plumbing. Y'all getting where I'm going? So every person has a part to play to bring about the full effect of what we do. Amen? Amen? Okay. So then let's go a little further. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So why do our gifts differ? According to the grace that's given to us. It started with Paul saying, according to the grace given unto me, I'm speaking this to you. And he's saying to them, you do what you do according to the grace that is given unto you. Y'all got it? Whatever God has allowed to be your thing, you do that thing. You move out in that thing. Don't go looking for a thing. Do what you do. Do what has come to you. Let that be your thing. Enhance what you do. Make what you do better. You know, grow it out. So Carlos is doing stuff out there for us, bulletin boards and envelopes and all of that. So now, I'm not telling you find another thing, but how do you make what you do better? How do you refine what you do? How do you take it to another level? Can I take this to another level? Now, for us, it's good. The thing that at least did Sunday, you know, we had our announcements and all that up, but church has been doing that for years. That's new for us. But people have been doing that for years, so we're like, all right, we are. But that just brought us into it. All right? That just brought us into it. And so we're not playing catch up. We just got to the place where, okay, we got the stuff to do it. Let's do it. Amen? Okay? So as it's time, or when time comes, you do what you are graced to do and can sustain. When I would get on the radio or TV, I never started anything I couldn't finish. If somebody say, all right, we want you to get on the radio or do whatever, I looked at the budget, I talked to God, and it was like, okay, I don't see how that can be sustained. I don't see God doing that, right? Guy in Africa told me, man, we need your voice in Africa. The bishop I went with over there called me because I told her, I said, you know, they're calling me from Africa, and I went with you, and I'm not trying to step over you. And she said to me, hey, listen, your voice needs to be in Africa, all right? And I called him about the budget, and I was like, oh, that's kind of high. You know, that's higher than what I would pay over here. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm going to get my voice into Africa, but I'm going to do it a different way. Y'all get it? Because I'm all about, you know, although I teach, part of my teaching is finance. And so knowing how to use resources wisely, I'm not going to spend $800 if $12 to do it. Amen? I mean, if it takes 800, then you do 800. All right, but if it only really takes 12, if you can do it with 12 and do it effectively, then boy, spend the 12. Amen? Okay, then spend the 12. All right, so I'm trying to find a way to do it effectively to get the ears of the people that I need over there to do my thing. You got it? Okay, so now where are we going? What's the next thing for us? Verse number 7, let's finish it. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, let's stop right there. So he's saying whatever it is you do, do it the way it needs to be done. All right? If you teach, wait on the opportunity to teach. If this is a season or a thing where they don't need teaching, they need somebody to do something else, go sit down. Let the other person do what needs to be done. whatever your gift is, let your gift be utilized where your gift is needed. Amen. If they don't need your gift at that place, then help somebody else do what they're doing until opportunity arises for you to do whatever. Y'all got it? And so, like the exhortation, building people up, encouraging people, that's a part of what I do as well. And so even if I don't get the chance to speak, I can still go and encourage some people. Come on, y'all can do this. Amen. It's not a step down. It's still being used. Whatever God is wanting to do with you in that season, you allow God to do with you in that season. Amen. Amen. Y'all getting it? Okay. And so even if you have, I'll use this one, a gift. I mean, your own unique thing that you do musically, you still need to practice. You still need to learn things and how can I make better what I do? Y'all getting where I'm going? I mean, let's use a worldly person. No, I don't want to use that one. Say you are a worldly singer. I'm not going to call any of their names. They're not going to be glorified in the house of the Lord. Say you are a worldly singer. To keep your audience, you got to practice the same songs over and over, perform the same songs over and over. You have to come up with different ways to do what you do to make. Y'all know what I'm saying? And so if I'm going to do what I do and do it effectively, then I have to get better at it. I have to really utilize the gift that God has given me to his glory. All right? Amen? All right. And that was verse 8. But let me just hit these again. If you prophesy, wait for the opportunity. You're waiting for God to tell you what he's going to do when he speaks to you. By faith, you tell them what he told you. Bam. You tell them that. Wow. Hallelujah. If he gives you opportunity to minister or to serve or ministry doing something for people, wait on our ministering. Whatever it is, wherever it is, however it is, give him the opportunity to do it. All right. Exhorting or building up or not edifying, but exhorting, encouraging, giving. Now, you can't give if you don't have nothing to. So you can't talk about I'm a giver. What you got? What you giving? You got to give something to be a giver, you know, or if you just talk about regular giving, like you give at church or whatever, hallelujah, give what you have. But if you are out there, everybody has a need and you're meeting needs, but God is continuing to bless you with resources and things. Wow. Suddenly, you know, he knows he can trust you. It'll pass through. Some people cannot be givers because they have closed hands. Okay. But if you are the person who grabs it and releases, where you say it goes, God, bam. Where you say it goes, God, bam. You know, you're like an organizer. This goes on that shelf. That goes there. That goes there. That's simplicity. Put it where it goes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And a whole bunch of, you know, I need you to do 3 of these and 4 of those and 15 of those. And then I'll give you 7 of these, but 1 of those. And no, no, no. Where does it go? Goes over there. Here you go. It's on y'all. Do what you're supposed to do. If you read Genesis talking about the church, when they were building the temples, it is amazing to me that, like today in the church, we do a lot of the work ourselves. We'll be doing different things. But they raised money, right? And then he said, and then they gave it to the craftsmen. They gave it to the craftsmen. They told them what they wanted. And they told the craftsmen, here. And the craftsmen did what needed to be done. And then it was done. So some things you can do, but some things you have to pay to get done. And so to pay to get it done, there needs to be some money in place to do that. You got it? If there is no money, guess who's got to do it? You got to do it. Hallelujah. Got to be done. But when the money comes, then you have to say to yourself, I can't do everything. So now I'm going to let the money work for me. Y'all get it? I'm going to let the money march for me. The money's going to go and do what I would do with my hands. I'll let it do for me what I cannot do right now myself. Amen? So that's when you learn to use your money wisely in certain ministry situations. Okay. So that's Romans 12. Now, if you didn't write this down and y'all hear me teaching, you know you're missing it. You need to write it down. You need a pen. You need to write this down because you need to go back through it, hear it again. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, please. First Corinthians chapter 12. You know that light is on? Oh, you're taking a picture of that. You're putting blind in me. Gene ain't got no memory left. I don't know why she's taking a picture. It ain't even going to her account. I know you're trying to fake out. You can't put another picture on that phone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Y'all ought to laugh with us on tape. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. When you have it, please say, I have it. That looked like one of them house moves right there. All right. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all of the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we are what? One. We are one. We are one body. We are one body. And so everybody does their thing, not separate from everybody else, but it's inclusive. I need you to do your part so I can do my part better. If you do your part, if I do my part right, I make y'all look good. You do your part right, you make me look good. You get what I'm saying? If we do our parts like we're supposed to, we enhance each other. All right? If the sound guys, right, you know, we up and things going well, and we trying to sing and it's the wrong words on the screen, and the music is good and everybody looking at the screen is like, them ain't the right words. People done lost it right then. They're like, them ain't even the right words. What are they doing? So you have to know how to do what you do. You got, you know. All right? Now let's go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7. When you have it, please say, I have it. Our verse of significance is verse 7, but I want to read 4, 5, and 6 also on the way to verse 7. Amen? All right. Everybody got it? Everybody have it? If you have it, say, I have it. All right. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Got it? But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So in each of us, although we are one, we all have a certain measure of grace based on what we do. All right. What we are allowed to do, what our gifting is, what our thing is. And so, God, whatever you want to do with me, you have graced me for. This is what I do. Bishop Hilliard, we were out there and he says, listen, if you can't do what I do, just give to what I do. He said, and the grace that rests on me will then rest on you because you help me do what I'm doing. And then God will then bless because you intentionally saw to me doing what I'm trying to do, so the same grace that rests on me doing it will then begin to rest on you to allow the things you want to get done to get done. So for people who don't support other people, you find that people, many people don't support you. Ma'am, sowing and reaping. Absolutely. Sowing and reaping. All right. So you have to put in to get something out. You have to invest something. All right. For it to come back to you. And so, and whatever your gifting is, whatever your talent is, whatever your ability is, you must give your best to it. All right? Give God the best. Glorify God in what you do. Again, say this with me one more time. I am a part of the divine design. One more time. I am a part of the divine design. I have a place in the kingdom. I am important to the kingdom. Amen. Y'all know the king is our daddy? Amen. His kids are important. Amen. He's entrusting the kingdom to his kids. Amen. We are kingdom kids. We are the children of the king. And so it's just like taking care of your own house. Let me see how I can word this. Kids don't like to clean up till they bring a friend over. Then suddenly their eyes are open. They're like, oh, all this junk around here. It's like, no, it's the same kingdom. You ain't been taking care of it, see? Then all of a sudden they want to clean up. They want to straighten up. They want to put it together. They want to fix it up. Well, we are the kingdom children. And we are the ones that display the kingdom to the world. And so when they see the kingdom, they see what we've done. And so if we do it well, then they get a good picture of what the kingdom looks like. If there's a scripture, I believe it in Book of Nehemiah, they were rebuilding the wall, right? And one of the guys is like, shoot, man, if a fox run up on there, that wall will fall down. That was the testimony, you know. They were trying to rebuild the wall, but the wall was raggedy, man. It was just raggedy. They were trying to do right, but the wall was raggedy. And that was the representation of the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? We didn't tow, this thing is tore up, right? Y'all get it? So we need to make sure that things are right. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm going to do my part to make the kingdom look right. Amen? And so we're going to get attacked. That's why you get attacked. Not because you're the preacher, but because you're a part of the kingdom. They're trying to destroy the kingdom. And if they can get you, they got a piece of the kingdom. That's why the devil's on your track. That's why he's playing with your emotions. That's why he's playing with your money. That's why he's playing with your health. He's trying to tear you down because you are important to the kingdom. And if I can tear you down, oh, I got them, because they're never going to be able to find another one like you. If I can just get you, I done taken something out of place for the kingdom of God. Y'all get that? I told them in Macon, I said, for years, I've been saying, we have summer feeding. I've been saying for years, I need some extra people to help us with summer feeding. I need some folks to do this, that, or the other, that. And it's real scarce. You know, you get one extra here, one extra there. This year, I did it different. I stood up and I said, Miss Alma needs some help. She's trying to take care of her husband. Y'all know he has some issues going on, and this is her heart. She likes doing summer feeding, but she cannot do it. I need somebody to take the responsibility so the work that she's done will not fail. Suddenly we had one, then we got two, then we got three, then we got four. I mean, we've had six different volunteers. We never had that in 13 years. Got it? Well, I attribute that to the grace that was on Miss Alma. They saw her need. And why did it matter? Because Miss Alma and Brother Benny are loving people. And if anybody needs anything, they're always seeing about making sure they get what they need. They will help. They will do. So when people saw that they had a need, y'all got it? They then in turn, let me step up. Let me see what I can do. And it's flourishing. It's wow. All right? So do what you do. Do it well. You're putting your seeds in. And what you do for the kingdom, other people begin to see you serving God, and it will benefit you later. You know, we don't know when or how or whatever, but you're doing your part in the kingdom. Amen? Okay? So tonight what I wanted to teach is that we are a part of the divine design. Scriptures I gave you were Jeremiah 1 and 5, Romans 12, 3 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. So I'm going to open the floor if there's any questions. I'm actually done with my teaching, except for if there's some questions that I can then add to. So does anybody have anything they want to ask or go into tonight?